Those stories kind of helped me grow up from a boy into a man, I guess, or a man of sorts, anyhow. I went on and graduated from Oregon State College and then went to some graduate school down at the Colorado School of Mines. And about the time I got married in 1950, December of 1950, I took my new wife, Esther Spencer Obenchain, Esther May Spencer Obenchain. We went down there and we got an apartment in the basement, and I continued my education, and she was going to get a job as a nurse. Well, best laid plans in our case didn't work, and she couldn't get a job. And by about 3 months, well, we were about out of money, and I realized I couldn't finish the school year without getting a job of some kind myself, or just quitting school. And I finally decided I better quit school. And of course, then the Korean War was on, and that meant that I would have been drafted. Well, I wouldn't have minded that too much, but there was a better option, so I joined the Air Force. And that was a 4-year commitment. And before long, I was in the Air Force, and that was a good 4 years. We then spent at Keesler Air Force Base after my basic training. And then in 1955, I got out of the Air Force and went to work in the oil field. And now I was beginning to use the geophysical engineering that I'd studied about. Well, at first I went back to school, and the same old thing. Now I had a wife and 2 children, and I couldn't support them and continue to go to school. So anyhow, I went to work and looked for this job, and I got a job with Schlumberger Well Services, and they sent me to Horton, Texas, of all places. Well, actually, I trained at Beaumont, Texas, and then went back to Horton. This particular story here, I was a brand new engineer at Horton, Texas, probably in about late 55 or early 56, and I need to tell you a little bit about the job as a Schlumberger field engineer. We were always in a hurry going somewhere, and we always drove mighty fast. We had 2 speeds, either stopped or wide open, and it wasn't unusual for us to be in the office, and we knew how long it took us to get anywhere, and we'd have just enough time to get from the office to wherever the well was. And, of course, we'd run out and jump in our car, and away we'd go. We'd burn a little rubber, you know, and we'd get the well on time. Well, that's pretty good. Worked pretty good, and this particular time I'd just gotten a new car. And it was a 1950, this had to be a little later than, this is a 1957 model, I remember that. So anyhow, it was one of those things with 13-inch wheels, and where my earlier car had the 15-inch wheels, it was easy to get in and out of, and I could exit the office and jump in that car, and inside of about 15 seconds, I could be heading down the road. Well, this new car, it sat lower to the ground, and me being 6'3", I had to get into a little bit slower, and I had to pull my legs in and then close the door, and it was fine once I got in. Well, I took off in a big hurry, and I jumped in and threw my briefcase in the back seat and jumped in and pulled the door closed, and the only thing I forgot, I didn't have my head inside the door yet. Well, the door caught my head, and the next thing I knew, It slammed my head up against the frame of the car, and I had a good headache. Well, there again, you know, it wasn't particularly pleasant. In fact, I sat there in a daze for a while, but my biggest concern was maybe somebody saw me. To slam a car door on your old head isn't very smart, you know. And after the stars cleared a little bit, well, I backed rather slowly out, and I didn't burn any rubber at that particular time. I took off slowly for the well. And so I learned a lesson again, you know. It's okay to do things rapidly, but you want to make sure that you're doing them safely, too.